Welcome back. What kinds of services do you think dialing 311 should cover for you? 311 is the number you call in D.C. to request city information and basic services like scheduling a bulk trash pickup or pointing out potholes. It will soon expand to include repairs at D.C. public schools and local parks. Plus, D.C.'s 911 is integrating new technology to better pinpoint your location in an emergency. Joining us now by phone to talk about both systems is D.C.'s Office of Unified Communications Director, Karima Holmes. Karima, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Kaltra.
First, let's make sure we're on the same page about DC's 311 system, because I'm sure people mix it up all the time. What requests does 311 currently handle, and what does it not handle?
Sure. So 311 is the support call system for non-emergencies, city services, and in general district information. The calls that 311 does not handle would be any type of emergency and any type of calls that require an agency to respond directly for specific things. But we have about 17 agencies that we cover in the district. So as you said earlier in the intro, we take care of bulk collection, missed trash, potholes, graffiti. All of that comes through 311.
Why then broaden the 311 services to include DCPS, DC Public Schools, and DC Parks and Recreation? What needs were you seeing at those sites?
Sure. So I think that the needs that we saw was that sometimes we have parents and visitors at DPR, DCPS that would see any type of maintenance issues or anything that are on the grounds, the playgrounds. And it's easier for you just to pick up the phone and call 311 instead of looking for a maintenance worker or someone on the grounds. And especially after hours, you know, if you're out at the park on the weekend, things like that, you can just pick up the phone and call 311. I think one of the other reasons that it has been expanding is 311 has become very popular, which is what we want. Out of OUC, we take about 3.5 million calls a year for service between 911 and 311. And 311 takes the bulk of those calls. We almost received 2 million calls last year just for 311. So we know the citizens are using it. We have improved our call times. Our call handle times have gone down. And so what better way for you to be able to report something at your child's school or you're out at a park than to pick up and call 311?
Karima Holmes, so if I'm walking around in the park and I see something that needs repair, or I happen to be in a D.C. public school and I see the same thing, how will putting in the request for service at those institutions actually work?
So if you're at a park, and let me put this out there, this starts early summer. So we're in the workings of it now. We started this fiscal year getting everything planned out for it. But if you're in a park, you see something, you pick up the phone, you call 311. We take it just like we take all 311 calls. We get the information in. Our systems talk to our partner agencies. We put all the information in. You give us your email. We'll send you a confirmation number. Therefore, you can follow up if you would like. And then that information goes over to DGS, which is our general services that handles maintenance for both DPR and DCPS.
So how does that differ from what's happening now?
So right now, the way the maintenance goes in is through an employee or someone actually picks up the phone and calls the respective agency. And so that changes. It just allows another conduit. Those routes will still be there. We're just adding another way for citizens to call 311. And I think 311 is just easy to remember. I would like to add this, too. We get a lot of just general government information calls to 311. And so people are calling 311 anyway just for information. And so what this is adding is just literally a service request. We're actually adding the process into 311. And so you're not calling 311 about a broken swing, or we're saying, okay, hold on, we have to get you to, you know, DCPS or whatever. We're literally, our call takers are going to be putting the information in and feeding it through our system.
When did you say these changes will go into effect?
We are looking at early summer. We do not have a date yet, but we are closing in on the end. We've been working on this for a while now, not quite a year yet. So we think that we will be ready to go live early summer.
A lot of people might not call 311 and may instead tweet at their local council member about issues they see in their neighborhood. Is your office paying attention to messages like that, which won't necessarily come through your system?
We do. We do pay attention. We have a social media team that stays on Twitter 24/7. We have our 311 individuals that pay attention to Twitter. And so you can also tweet 311dc.gov. We also have an app on 311dc.gov. You can download the app. But we also have a partnership with Counselor, the executive branch, all of our agencies. So if something gets tweeted out to them, we get retweeted. And our call takers right then will take that information and shoot the confirmation number over Twitter.
So you're saying that if I call my council member's constituent services officer and ask for something particular in my neighborhood, and that person says to me, hey, we're going to take care of it, we're going to get it done, all that person is really doing is calling 311?
They can. that is a way to do it. They email us.
Are you pretending to give me personal service? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that is service. They're preventing you from doing it. I don't think any of the constituents literally go out there and fix anything, of course, but they do get in contact with the agency. But sure. I think the options are still there. They can directly call DGS. They have okay. that option. I get emails directly to me, and I get it done, or they can tweet us or call 311 directly.
Well, we've been talking so far about the non-emergency line, but what about 911? What changes have been made to that technology?
Sure. So with 911, we have made two major changes in the last year, and one of those is the non-emergency number. I've been here about 3 years. This is the third 911 center I've been in, and one of the bigger issues that we ran into was there was not a number for non-emergencies. If you're just calling to get the police to come out, or you need a case number for, you know, a missing wallet, that's not 311, but you actually, you know, need to make a report. We didn't have that. And so the 911 system brings in about 1.5 million calls, and we found that 250,000 of those calls are non-emergency. They need some type of response, but it's not dire. And so we've introduced a non-emergency number, and that number is 311. And so the very first prompt now when you call 311 is if you have a police non-emergency, press 1. Once you press 1, it goes over to a 911 call taker, but they handle the call at a lower priority. This is very important because those true 911 calls, those heart attacks, those accidents, they're coming in through the true 911 phone system, and so we can prioritize the call better. Right now, without the non-emergency number, we had no way of knowing what calls were coming in. We had no way of knowing the priority of calls coming in, rather. So if three people call, two of them are in an accident and one of them are calling about, you know, a tire in their yard, it just didn't matter. Whoever got the call in first would come in. And so now that you have the police non-emergency number through 311, we can handle those calls appropriately. And then right quick, the other thing that we have launched recently in 911 is a partnership with a vendor that we've been using for years for location accuracy. And so, you know, you hear the stories that has been a big plight across the country with 911. We don't know where you are if you call from a cell phone. We're struggling. We ran some statistics across the states, and it takes almost 40 seconds for a call taker to get a location for someone that don't know where they are.
And people want to know if I order a pizza and they can find my location. Oh, yes. Why doesn't that happen right when I call 911?
And that's just based on the system, the old 911 center. I'll try and sum this up real quick. The old 911 system was based in 1968. And so those calls were taken from landlines. Since cell phones, of course, blew up in the late 90s, 2000s, 911 systems could not take a wireless call and know where you are. Domino's and Pizza Hut know because they're getting a device-based location. We're upgrading our systems, and now we have location accuracy. So what happens is when you call, instead of us getting a cell phone tower location, we get the location of the cell phone itself.
The company you're partnering with now to provide location services is used as an intermediary until call centers can upgrade to wireless technology. Where's the District of Columbia on that?
So that is called Next Gen 911. It has been phased out in 5 phases. We are in phase 4. I would also like to add that is only about a quarter of the 6,000 911 centers that have even got started at Next Gen 911. So I'm really proud of our progress. But yes, this is just a temporary fix for now. Because location is just that important. But working with FCC and our telecom industry, we will get there. That's part of Next Gen 911. And it's not only the 911 centers that have to upgrade their systems, but also the carriers are working to provide that data to us.
Indeed, and Maryland State Senator Cheryl Kagan has just introduced legislation so that Maryland can try to get location services for its 911 system. They are way behind the times. But before we go, here's Heather in Adams Morgan. Heather, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
My question concerns older adults reporting problems with scooters, the danger of scooters on sidewalks. The D.C. Pedestrian Advisory Council recommended to deduct Director Jeff Marudian, among other things, that there be a specific dedicated location in 311 to report the danger of scooters on sidewalks. And I'm wondering if this has come to your attention. There's been a lot of focus on injuries to scooter riders, but the problem also is
We're running out of time quickly, so allow me to have Karima Holmes respond. Has it come to your attention before, or is this the first time you're hearing about this?
This is the first time I'm hearing about it. It may just have not made it to me yet, but I do work with Jeff Marushin for different service requests that they need at DDOT. And so if that is something that is needed, it definitely sounds like there's not a threat to life. At the time of the call, it comes through 311 and we can get that request over to DDOT. And of course, if there's ever any threat to life or any type of arguments or assault or anything like that, it needs to go through our 911 system.
What about situations where people cannot call in the emergency over the phone for Washingtonians who are deaf or who don't speak fluent English? What options do they have?
Sure. So we have two options. The older option is we do have TTY and TDD systems set up in our telephone system now in 911. And so those populations are pretty familiar with that. We have a relationship with Gallaudet University. And so they call in and recognize those systems and we communicate that way. The second option, which was introduced in 2017, I think July of 2017.
Got about 10 seconds.
Text to 911. Text to 911. You can now text to 911. So for that population, it has become pretty popular and we can communicate that way.
Karima Holmes is the director of the D.C.'s Office of Unified Communications. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Our update on 311 and 911 was produced by Ruth Tam. Our conversation on rape investigations produced by Mark Gunnery. For my 20th year on WAMU, we've been popping up at a number of unexpected places in the Washington region. I recently visited D.C. Superior Court. You can watch a video of how my day at the courthouse went at kojoshow.org/blog. Coming up tomorrow, it's your turn to discuss the news that matters to you. We're opening up the phones for anything you want to talk about, whether it's changes to D.C.'s climate, controversial yoga class for white people, or anything else, like how the region handled today's snowfall. That all starts tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi.
The Kojo Nandi Show is produced by Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Julie Deppenbrock, and Margaret Barthel. Our managing producer is Angelisa Schrobstorff, and our senior producer is Mana Kashvi. Our intern is Sydney Grannon, and our engineer is Josephine Neonai. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Nandi Show. And if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.